and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 212. We're in a level 2 lockdown, aren't we?
You know what 212 is, don't you?
Go on.
A palindrome.
So it is.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, mm. Like Edam. Oh no, Edam isn't, is it? No. Edam's made backwards.
All I can say is he's had a long day, bless him.
Yeah, but I finished work early, unlike Johnny.
Yes, yeah. Jonathan is missing. He's MIA. He has a meeting with, who was it, the CEO?
Yeah.
Some top dog.
Bontada.
Oh, that's good afternoon. I know that. Hello, Tracy. I'm trying to get into the chat, but my chat's not working properly.
I was so first in the chat.
Give me a second.
Actually, no, I wasn't.
No,
was
you
I?
Weren't. Deb
was first.
CQ, Deb.
I'm going to have to apologise on Slack now. Or delete the message.
No, Deb has to be awarded that today. Yeah. Thank you very much. Let's rub it in with Simon and Jonathan. Oh, hello, Paul. It looks like Paul's wish is coming true. Who's seen the latest leak? Nothing stays quiet for long enough with Apple, does it? There was no leaks like this when Steve Jobs was in charge. Apparently, it's all out there.
Deb, I've officially said it was you in Slack.
We need a leaderboard and points. It's the only answer.
Thing was, I opened the chat and then I didn't put anything. I went straight to Slack.
All I can say is he's had a hard day. And the day is continuing in that vein.
A hard day.
Oh, Tracy says you don't count.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. Love you too.
I think she means it in the nicest possible way.
Oh, God.
It's better to be in the top 3 than lower down. Exactly. Anyway, we're all here. Those who can manage it at the moment, apparently, are all here. We will have others joining us for the MacBytes Live. They're not macarooners. There's
Ronaldo
something wrong with them.
Ronaldo tests positive for COVID-19.
Oh, doesn't he have about 47 kids as well?
Probably.
What is wrong with these footballers?
I don't know.
There's no words for the level of stupidity involved.
And 2 England players are going to miss the Denmark game after leaving the England squad. I presume they've got COVID. 2 Salford players test positive 4 days before the Challenge Cup final.
Brilliant. Again, no words. No words for the stupidity, but how's everyone else doing? Let me know. So Paul's not getting a lot of work today. You can always catch up tomorrow. You see, Mike will get up early and work in the morning and then nick the last half hour if it's not convenient. And to be honest, quite a lot of the time, it's not convenient. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Somebody's bought Macclesfield and installed Robbie Savage on the board.
Again, there are no words for how stupid that is. If you don't know who Robbie Savage is, let me know in the chat if you do. Let me find the best picture of Robbie Savage.
Yes,
ever.
I know which one you're going for.
Yes, Robbie Savage dance. Let me find it. Oh, tell me there's a photograph of that. He went on Strictly. And he was very, very shy and quiet. He really struggled with
Why
it.
Don't you just search for Robbie Savage naked?
No, that's not the one I'm looking for. It says Robbie Savage thrusts his way into the spotlight. Well, I don't know if you know Craig Revel Hallwood. There's no video of it now.
Well,
that's
I can't
a shame.
Be posting those. But be taken off the air.
I'll post the one of The Guardian. Which explains it. His dance routine, where he was literally half naked, looked like he was dressed like Aladdin. He jumps onto the table in front of Craig Revel Hallwood. And, well, you'll understand the rest from the picture.
We have
Hello,
Santosh.
Santosh is in the house. We're catching up on a lot of the Mac news and a lot of other news as well. So it's football at the moment with Robbie Savage. So you can see what I mean about would you want that on the board? Tell you what, though, a lot more people knew him at the end of Strictly Come Dancing than they did at the beginning. That's all I'll say. I'd forgotten he danced with, is it Ola Jordan? Jordan that was his partner? Yes, it was.
Oh.
Yeah, his hair's nearly as long as hers. But yeah, that was one heck of a routine. But he went on the show like a lot do to get exposure. And oh, there was exposure, all right. Let's just say that. So we're looking at what we want from today. Tell us what you want. Obviously,
what you really, really want.
Obviously, I think the phone is a given, and there's been a leak, and the leak is supposed to be 100% accurate. I don't know how Apple managed to fall for this every time. You know, if somebody leaked last time and Apple don't want it leaked, then why don't they just take them off the early access list? I don't get it. But the phone, on the one hand, it doesn't look that different. On the other, it could be quite different in design, because these photos, you can't see the sides of it. So they think it's going back to a more industrial look, more like the iPad 11. So with like a square side. I'm hoping if they're doing... I'm still hanging on, Paul. I know I'm wrong. I'm still hanging on to the fact. If it's got a flat side, it's perfect for a mini pencil. I'm hanging on. But I think I'm going to be disappointed. I don't think there's going to be a pencil today, but... Oh, it does give it problems case-wise if there's something that sticks on the side. Plus the fact, I think we've discussed it, and the thing that sticks on the side is all very well. But if it's anything like my iPad pencil, it also comes off in my bag repeatedly.
So does my Surface pencil.
I don't think it's strong enough, but having said that, it is... When you put the pencil near it, let me know if you've got an iPad with this kind of pencil. It does snap it out of your hand to actually clip it to it, but it does just seem to fall off.
In fact, my Surface...
Rainy Boston. Oh, I watched a programme that was set in Boston. A medical one? Which one would that be? Wasn't ER, was it? That was Chicago. Is it Boston Med or something? No, that's Chicago Med. I definitely watched one from Boston. Definitely, but it was probably a good few years ago. You'd rather have an iPad mini with a pencil. Well, I would, Paul. And I was all geared up to buy last time that there was a long gap, wasn't there, between iPad minis being updated. And I thought, I'm ready for this. It's the size of a reporter's notebook. I already used, and at the time it was GoodNotes. Then I switched to Notability. And now I've switched back to GoodNotes. I would have stuck with Notability because I do prefer the pencil work in there. It's lovely and smooth and it's accurate. But I realised after I've been using it for a fair bit that if I make a notebook and there's 5 or 6 pages, I don't have a problem with it. But if I've got a notebook that's like, I tend to make one notebook per year that's just like a rough notebook that I just throw anything into. And once you get to like 20, 30 pages, I might want to reorganise the pages. And I couldn't believe Notability didn't have an interface for organising the pages. So that's why I then had to go back to GoodNotes. But I was able to go back to GoodNotes only because I'd done the Catalina thing 2 weeks ago. That was the reason I'd moved to Notability. I was on the beta program for the desktop version of GoodNotes, which was great until just one random update, and they didn't tell you it was coming, said I can't install new Catalina. And this was probably about 10 months ago. I wasn't Catalina-ing 10 months ago. No chance. So I switched, but now I've switched back. So I would... have loved a mini, but when they announced this mini, the price went up, the storage went down. Yes, it was a newer model, and yes, it worked with Pencil 1, but it really needed the mini to be a mini version of the 11 where the Pencil 2 stuck on the side. And if they'd done that, I would have bought it, but they didn't, so I steered away. So I'm thinking, phone-wise, what is the best thing to do? In terms of, it's supposed to be bigger. The biggest one is supposed to be bigger than the biggest 11. So a 6.7 inch screen.
One?
I think is
give
that
us a ruler.
6.5, I think.
Is it?
Why don't you Google it?
Oh.
Before you take the dog out, why don't you Google it? I think it's 6.5.
iPhone 11. It's not plus, a pro, is it?
Plus
size. Screen
yes, screen size.
Size.
There we go. Let's find out.
6.1.
You've left your Surface pencil in the travel bag that way you don't lose it. I thought the Surface was beautiful, but the one thing that's never made any sense, now Mike's got one. I don't have a Surface personally, but I seriously considered it when I used OneNote as my main note-taking system. I'd moved from Evernote, which I'd used for years, to OneNote. And I loved the fact that the pencil, you just tap the screen and then away you went. And it was lovely. I even tried the Surface Pen on a Surface Studio, which was in one of the John Lewis stores. Oh, it was to die for. Loved it. But obviously, that's Windows. But when Mike actually bought one, the nonsensical thing to me was that the pen sticks on the left-hand side. Now, there's no way, unlike an iPad where you could just flip it upside down, the Surface has the Surface leg. So the left-hand side is definitely the left-hand side. And me being right-handed, or predominantly right-handed, I do use a trackpad with my left hand, but that's a different story. I was reaching across the screen to pick up the pen. And I said to Mike, this doesn't make any sense. He said, I know. So they really need to think a little bit more about their design. It'd be nice if you could put that on either side. And then if you're left-handed or right-handed, wouldn't make a difference. But that wasn't what happened.
Yeah, 6.5, I think it is.
So a lot of people are particularly losing the pen or the pencil. It's falling off. Yeah, I agree with you, Paul, in terms of the bigger the screen to take the notes, the better. But I wanted something that I thought was like ultra portable. So I would have gone for the Mini if it had been Pencil 2. I don't think we're going to see an update to the Mini, though. It's amazing, isn't it? They bring out updates to the iPads and the phones on a regular basis. You can pretty much predict, give or take, when they'll update the computers. But there's certain devices. And I bet if I said, when was that last updated? You'd be like, I have to think about that. One is the iPod Touch, which is still available and really good value. And yet they don't make a big fuss about when it's the next revision. And the other's the iPad Mini. And I think if it did, maybe it's the case. Maybe if somebody made an amazing case where you didn't lose the pencil, but even then they put the price up and took the storage down. I don't really need 64 gig of storage, but didn't they change it so it was 32 or 128? Which is just so annoying because 32 is not going to cut it. But 128 ended up costing £100 more than the previous version. So that's why I left it alone. Also, notes-wise, I'm at the point where I really, 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 seriously want to use Notion for notes. But it doesn't have any pencil support. Rome has just added that, which is pretty amazing. Rome have been adding features left and right. It's amazing. But Notion slowed down a bit, if you've noticed. Although they've been putting out lots of things about we're hiring. Yes, that's as maybe. But that timeline feature was announced in August last year, and it's still not here. And when I say announced, it wasn't announced like, oh, we're thinking about it, maybe. It said sneak peek of something that's coming soon. And there was a GIF showing you how you flip this data in a table into a timeline, which was exactly what I was looking for and have been looking for ever since. And it's not been mentioned. But I think notes wise, I still would actually like to write the notes in. And Notion doesn't really support that very well. I worked around it with that note system that I showed you. I built it slightly different than the video that I'd watched because I wanted it all in one table. And it works. It works great. And I can clip to it as well. Right. Say howdy doody to the dog on her way out. She's off for her trot. She refused point blank to leave the building at lunchtime, didn't she?
She did. It was raining.
It was raining.
It's Amazon Prime Day today and tomorrow, says Tracy.
It is, Tracy. Yes. It is. And as Mike knows.
I know what you've bought.
There was £32 off it, Mike.
It's on its way.
Yes, but it won't be here till Thursday.
I know.
Which is a bit unfortunate.
How do you know? Been sneaking a look at my email.
No! No! Why would I buy it on your account?
Why did I get an email?
No, it's all totally logical. See what you've done now, Tracy? It's all totally logical. These Prime deals, you can only have one.
Oh, right. So
but you're piggybacked on my Prime account, and I don't buy hard drives in ones. They all have to be paired.
Oh,
So I bought a hard drive on my account and then I bought another one on mine.
Right. Okay.
But we saved £64 in total.
Cool.
No, it really is cool because it's going next door on the machine that I think the hard drive's dying on. So when it arrives, we'll build it up. In fact, if we can work out the logistics of installing Catalina straight onto that drive without having to make an image of it, then that'll make Tracy's day as well. There you go, you see? Just need to sort that out when it arrives. It'll be here Thursday. Mike and I having a slight domestic Tracy over the fact I ordered a hard drive on his account. Which I did because it was Prime Day. Prime Day's been really weird. Simon and I ended up having a conversation at 1:40 this morning. Simon was up and he pinged me on Skype. And he didn't realise I was up. So I replied straight away and he was like, whoa, didn't expect you to be up. Oh, yes, Simon, I'm up half the night, as clearly Simon was. So we started having a conversation about Prime Day. He was saying he didn't think the deals had actually, you know, at midnight clicked over because one was an Echo Dot, you know, the smallest one, but the previous revision, not the new football one. It's like a little ball shape. Weird, really weird. Oh, don't worry about domestic. We're only playing. Ah, right, which hard drive? It was a limited edition thing. There was a, you know, when there's a percentage and when they're gone, they're gone. Let me have a look if it's still available. Actually, it was on the homepage for that, wasn't it? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to my orders and I'll get to it from there, see if it's still available. There you go, arriving Thursday. It was. It looks like it's gone back to full price, but it was £122, I think. Or was it 25? There was £32 off it, and this was the one it was, which I've had their brand before. I think I've had a 1 terabyte of theirs, but this is a 2 terabyte. And the plan with it is to... We have a machine in the studio, and I think it's young enough to take an upgrade to Catalina, which we would be thinking of doing. But at the moment, it's been a little bit finickety. It needs to be rebooted maybe once or twice, maybe 3 times a week, which I'm saying to Mike, the hard drive's on the way out. So a good way to update it and leave it alone at the same time would be to put this drive on it in an unformatted state and then install Catalina straight onto there whilst using the Mojave framework to get it on there. So let me have a look. I think it was a 2013. Let's have a look about this Mac. Late 2013 Core i7, so it can be upgraded. So what I intend to do with it is the bit that you want to see, which is put an operating system on an external hard drive. I've opted for the 2 terabytes. I mean, you'd think it doesn't need it. The one that's in it right now, this machine has had a checkered history. It's called Faith. It's the one I've mentioned that my mother on her deathbed literally said to me, is the computer back and working? And I didn't have the heart to tell her it had to go back for the 5th time. So I said, yes, it's fine. I lied through my teeth to my dying mother. But it was a white lie for her own good. I didn't want to get even more excited. So I'd already spoken with the company and they'd already agreed that they were going to send me a brand new one. So this machine that went back for repair was a 2011, which wouldn't have been able to be upgraded. But they made such a mess of the upgrade, well, the fix. They were fixing the hard drive and they were fixing the screen. And when it came back, it looked like they'd attacked it with a hammer. And they didn't package it properly either. And I had photographs of this. So I got onto Apple in the end because this company were acting as their agent for an AppleCare repair. So they decided in the end they would send me a new Mac. Thing was, when the first new Mac arrived, which was the one my mother knew about, it had dead pixels on it. So there was, it was brand new, but it had dead pixels on it. And you're like, really? This was what the other one had gone back for twice. this was brand new Dead Pixels. So I got on the phone to them. I think it was the day before Mum passed. And I said, I haven't got time for this. And I explained. And I said, I will send it back. I said, let's just arrange to have it collected in the new year. You toddle off and have a good Christmas and I'll do the best I can. So that was what was agreed. So when it came back, it was actually a brand new machine, which was 3 years younger, which means it can be upgraded. But it only has a 256 SSD in it. I don't particularly want to open it all up to put the 2 terabyte in. So I'll leave the 2 terabyte hanging off the back. But the reason that I'd like it to have more storage is it's the one in the studio. So when we need to record, we're making videos in there and we're making audio in there. So the more storage it's got, the better. So that my intention is to shove it on the machine and then install Catalina onto the new drive and then set that as the bootable and set it up that way. So fingers crossed that my plan actually works. But the first step of my plan is for the drive and its twin to arrive on Thursday, and we'll take it from there. But originally I was thinking maybe a 500 would do, and then I thought, no, there's too much juggling. As soon as we've recorded, we've got to move that data. So I thought, no, we need to have that there where we can actually, you know, if we need to do a little bit more, it all goes together in one folder and then gets moved together. I then thought of a 1 terabyte, and yeah, I would get away with a 1 terabyte. But the price of the 1 terabyte drives, if you're looking like a Crucial, is about £110, £120 anyway. So this one was only about £10 more and I got 2 terabytes. Normally, I would say buy Crucial, but my problem with Crucial was I do have 2 or 3 Crucial drives. They just don't mount themselves. It's like they want to be internal drives and they won't work in a cradle outside. Ooh, he's in the chat only. Let's say hello to Jonathan. Hello, Johnny. Poor Jonathan. These meetings do they not know it's Apple Keynote Day? Not good enough. Right, let's have a look here. 50% off. I think you could possibly be doing better than us because the prices are weird today. Overnight, another drive came on offer and it was £128. And I checked again this afternoon and the same thing, exactly the same thing, I left the page open, is £135. So I think you get a better deal if you are up overnight, which is a bit unfair if people have got work, etc. Because it's supposed to be 2 days of Prime. Not, it's the price is different depending on what time of the day it is. But that's what's happening. I think that one, it wasn't the 2 terabytes blue. Let's have a look. Apparently not. I thought that one was a blue one. Yeah, I remember you mentioning those and saying how good they were. There's a biggie of the blue one. Yeah, because they were tiny as well, weren't they? And you've got 2 cables with them. Oh, the other one that was on offer was one that I had a while back. Let's see if that's still on offer. It was SanDisk. I think we talked about the SanDisks. They are great and portable. It's the orange one that's on offer. There they are. There is a 500, a 1 terabyte and a 2 terabyte. In fact, there's 2 2 terabytes. One was 220, which sounds a lot, but it's portable. Let's have a look at it. What did I pay for it? I think I paid the same last year. It was exactly the same price last year. So I'll send you this one. I've got a 1 terabyte of these and a 2 terabyte. They are rugged ones, so you can basically throw them around. I think they might be waterproof as well. I got a little case for it, and you can put it on a carabiner as well and have it hanging off a bag. It's got USB-C, but in the package with it, that one cable, there is a little adapter with it that turns it into a standard USB. And you can see the picture of it hanging off the guy's rucksack. I use that when we're away. So if you remember last time we went away, February. It's unbelievable. It was actually February this year. But when we went away, I did a show, which was a YouTube premiere. Once I'd got all the files together, I think I've got a 1 terabyte drive in the laptop I used. But once I'd got all the files together, I backed it up to that. And the backup is so fast, USB-C and USB-3. But the following, on the Sunday, we did a live show. So we did this live show to Brooklyn's 196, and I had all the files from that, and I'd even got together one of the girls who went. If you've been with us on Brooklyn's by request, it's Lisa, and Lisa is a professional singer. In fact, the Moore family are just so talented. All of them are fantastic singers. And she was dancing away, and she was singing to I Want to Dance with Somebody. And the in-house singer gave her the microphone and she started singing, and she went, wow, you can sing. So she got her up on stage and she did the whole of Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody, which somebody else got on video. So I took the audio. This went to the WhatsApp group, I think. And I took the video out. I took the audio off it. So obviously I'm juggling with huge files. And we put it out on this show, and she had no idea it was going to go out on the radio on this show. So those drives are fantastic. Can highly recommend those. That was excellent. But I don't think I'm in the market for yet another one of them, on account of the fact not leaving the house much. So the price of that is almost, probably about £95 more than the one that I've bought. But the one that I've bought will need to go in a cradle. But I think now, by the time this one goes where it's going to go, I think all of them, apart from my main Mac, will be running from an external hard drive. If the internal hard drive is a spinning disk anyway, then it's going to be faster. And depending on what you do, I know having an external drive is not ideal, obviously, for booting to, etc. But for what I do with the machines, it's either that or you would have to pay for a very expensive repair to put a hard drive in it. So I decided not to bother with that and just run it from an external drive, which is far more flexible. And again, depending on what you're doing, if you've got intense work that you're doing that's writing to disk constantly, then you will have problems. But the kind of things that I do on these machines that don't have an internal or a working internal hard drive, things like even doing a video, if I'm recording, it can quite happily record to the external drive and not put that much pressure on it. Where it would slow down is if I was doing something like processing video. Having said that, I process video on my main Mac and it processes out to an external drive. It's an SSD. It's a one terabyte SSD. It's the only drive I've got that doesn't have a backup because it's the scratch disk. And I noticed when I was doing the church mass, which is about 30 minutes of video. It's not high def, trust me. I don't know how old this iPad is that the deacon records it on, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't fossilized. But I produce it out at HD, even though it's blurry as heck, because otherwise YouTube doesn't like it much. So it's still blurry, but basically the video has got to process out. If I process it out from the main hard drive to this scratch disk, it goes pretty fast. But if I do it to any other drive, it's noticeably slower. So even though this is an external drive, it's still processing out quite quickly because it's an SSD. So that is the one that doesn't have a backup. The other machines, some have got backups that are SSDs. I think actually all the backups are now on SSD, which makes them portable. That can cart them around far easier. So I'm a great believer in SSDs, and those SanDisk are fantastic if you're going anywhere. But obviously, we're not going anywhere, are we? We were under 6 different lockdowns, and today we're under another one. No, tomorrow. It happens tomorrow. Tomorrow we're under another one. So you're planning on getting a new T5 to back up the new iMac. What capacity was that? A 1 terabyte? Are you going for a 1 terabyte for an internal drive? The difference between the 1 terabyte and the 2, I think, was $600, wasn't it? It was obscene. So I'd probably go for a 1 terabyte myself and try and keep the data off it. The thing that's causing me the most problems with that, let me know how you're going on, is iCloud doing its own thing. It's pulling down a certain amount of content and it doesn't let it go. And yet the content that I would really like there, like my Keynote files, I have pulled them down many times. And then because I'm not accessing the ones that are like a year old, within a few days, it's stuck them back in the cloud. And the problem with that is then when I'm doing a backup of the system, it's not backing that up. So I'm constantly pulling them down. I think I've got to the point where I'm thinking these files are going to need to go somewhere else. But we discussed that when I explained the backup situation, that there really is nowhere else to put them. Unless they're local, which is literally the only place left to put them, they don't back up properly or they can get corrupt. If you remember, there was a 171 meg limit on a Keynote file on Dropbox. I don't know why either, but there was. And every other cloud that I've looked at, there is some issue in terms of compatibility. So iCloud is the only one, but iCloud doesn't give you, even with Catalina, it doesn't give you enough control to right-click on a file and say, keep a local copy. All I'm looking for is keep a local copy, cloud only. That's it. Do that, I'm happy. But they've not really built that in at all, which annoys me. You've not been comfortable turning on iCloud desktop and documents. I did turn it on, and my rationale was not particularly to use it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes I do put stuff on my desktop. I obviously have had to make a decision not to put a huge file on my desktop now, but my rationale for turning it on was it would give me the opportunity to access the same desktop files and obviously documents, but I don't have much in that documents folder. I create another folder called documents-local, and that's the one that I put the bigger files into. But I thought it would give me, if I'm working on something and I have a file on the desktop, it would give me access to it from other machines. The other reason for doing that is if something has been on the desktop and I then move it somewhere else, there is a backup in iCloud. So it's like an extra backup that I'm not particularly bothered about. But just in case, I have a backup for 30 days of something that's been on there. The one time it saved my bacon, and I was shocked as well, Paul. It was shocking. Ooh, Santosh has got one here. Portable 2 terabyte. Let's have a look at that. I do like looking at drives. As Mike knows when he wakes up and finds I've bought two. It was cheap. What can I say? Ooh, wow. Good grief. $285. It's a shame you can't get it from the UK and get it shipped. And just to make that matters worse, is this... this is .com. Next to it, because I'm in the UK, I've got the price at $284.99 and $85.07 shipping and import duty. Wow, that's scary. If you notice at the bottom, when I said there were two different types of 2 terabyte now, that one, it says, is the old generation and it's to do with the speed. You click the new generation, the price goes up to $380, but it's twice as fast. I think that one is included in the deal today, but it's a little bit more expensive. Next to it, that one's telling me it's $379.99 and $91.03 import duty. That's probably because there are import fees included. So some of that will be shipping. Some of it will be the actual import duty. And they also charge you, I think it's £12 to £14, to collect the fees off you. They actually charge you to take money off you. But it is a very good, if you have a need for it, it's a very, very good drive. So with this desktop and documents, where it saved my bacon, I'm sat in front of my main Mac. And I know I've got some stuff on the desktop. I also have an app called Desktop Curtain. Let me know who uses that. Do you use that? I find that absolutely invaluable. I do believe it's from Many Tricks, who make Moom. There we go. So what that app does, it lets you... It's not copied the right link. Come on, get the right link. There we go. It allows you, with a shortcut key, to toggle the stuff on your desktop off by covering it with a curtain. But you get to say what the curtain looks like. So they actually supply it, believe it or not, with an image that looks like a curtain. But you can set it to the image that you have for your desktop. So once you do that, it's like toggling on and off the icons on your desktop. I know there's other ways to do it. There's a free way to do it using Terminal. But that to me is just the quickest way. I have a dedicated shortcut key and it's just on, off, and I'm sorted. So I had that enabled and I used the shortcut key and it didn't come back. So I'm looking at a blank desktop thinking, where are my files? You know, when your heart sinks and you think, oh no, has it deleted my files? No, it hadn't, because I could see them on other machines. But I could not see them on the machine I was working on. And what worried me the most about that was, even if desktop curtains enabled, if you open up the Finder, you can see the files on the desktop through the Finder. Only I couldn't. They just weren't there. So I'm struggling at this point, thinking I don't reboot. You know, it'd be even worse if I reboot. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, what am I going to do? And then I thought, hang on a minute. Are they there or not? Have they been deleted? If they'd been deleted, then they wouldn't be there on another machine. So I goes to another machine and they're fine. So I thought, right, because they're there on another machine, I'll back them up from another machine and I'll reboot this machine. And no matter what I did with this machine, I could not get these files to reappear. But they were on every other machine that had desktop and desktop and documents turned on in iCloud. Just not on this machine, which was crazy. So I backed it all up from another machine. And then once I'd rebooted this, I think I took them away from the other machine. I actually then backed them up, put them in a cloud, put them in a folder and moved them off the desktop, which meant when this machine rebooted, there shouldn't be any data there. And there wasn't. At which point I gingerly put another file on the desktop and it's been fine ever since. But if I hadn't have had desktop and documents turned on, I wouldn't have been able to go to another machine and just take a copy of them. Now, I know technically I should have put them in another cloud, but you know what you're like. You're just working and you just need to visualise those files and they're just in a line on your desktop. So actually, it did save me once. But, you know, once, I'll give it that. It saved my hide once. But I wasn't a fan of turning it on myself and I didn't think I would use it. One of my problems is if you install an application that by default saves huge files to your documents folder. I do have enough storage on iCloud, but I don't particularly want stuff going up and down because the hard drives in the Macs that I have connected to it are variable in size. So they go from, I think, 128 on my 2012 MacBook Air is the smallest, up to, I think, a terabyte. But it's very difficult to manage files. Do you find this, guys? I find it more difficult now than 3 years ago. I go into my system and I think, right, what's taking up the storage here? And when I look at my cache for Google Drive FileStream or Dropbox, all of my Dropbox is set to be cloud only unless I tell it otherwise. And if I want a file like I get the mass file in from the Deacon, it goes through Dropbox, but I never actually make it local. I download a copy of it and then I delete it. But you can't control it. You look at how much space is used on a 1 terabyte drive and you find it's 1.5 terabytes. So how on earth are you supposed to free up space? And you can't just say to iCloud, I've not used these files in a year, make them remote only. We're back to that again. I'd love to see that today. More control for iCloud. But seeing as though the new one, Biggles, has been, that's Big Sir, but we're calling it Biggles. That's been in beta since forever. We know that there's no extra stuff in terms of controlling iCloud in it already. So iCloud isn't something that I particularly like to put data in. I would inadvertently find data in there because it's on my desktop, but I use it as a backup, and that's pretty much it. So does anybody else use anything like a desktop curtain to hide rubbish on their desktop? Have you noticed how many apps we run to hide stuff? I have Bartender because I think when I very first started using a Mac, it was like, oh, that's cool. It's got a menu icon. Oh, so's that one. And I ended up on a 24-inch iMac with the menu on the left and all of the menu bar icons on the right, virtually meeting in the middle. And it was many, many years before Bartender came along, and I couldn't believe it. Wasn't there one called, is it Broomstick? I think there's one called Broomstick. There's one called Vanilla, which does the same job, but there was one called Broomstick. But somehow Bartender became the sort of default standard. Let's see if Broomstick still exists. Yes, and it's free, although I don't think it's been updated since forever. It's got a really great icon. It looks like Harry Potter's sorting hat. It actually says it's still in beta. Is there a link to a page for this? It basically does what Bartender does. But it's free. But having said that, so's Vanilla. Does it have a home page? Anyway, do you use it? I'm finding I'm using apps to kind of control what I see on my Mac, which is something I can't believe they've not Sherlocked. I cannot believe, in a way, that they've not provided the ability for you to have complete control over that menu bar area. To me, why would you not do that? But they haven't. What's the other one? The desktop. An easy way to toggle on and off. I guess what they're thinking is muggles might find that they've turned that on and then they don't know to turn it off. So it could be that. But there are three apps, although I'm looking at this one and I'm wondering if it's still in development, this Broomstick one. Not seeing an actual homepage for it. I'm seeing it on Mac Update. Should be able to get one from there, shouldn't I? What would you like to do? Yeah, it's still basically in beta. When was this last updated? Let's have a look. Came out in 2012. I'm assuming it's been updated since then. Oh, actually, there's a couple more now. There is Bartender. There is Broomstick. There is Access Menu Bar Apps. There is Menu Bar Rearranger and one called Exhaust, according to this. There is also another one. If you have access to Parallels, the Parallels Toolkit has something in for that. Which, those tools are actually quite useful. I'd ignored them. Tell me if you use Parallels. I use Parallels for like one job a week, which is that publisher thing. That publisher job is just hanging around. We do have, we've kind of half moved them over to publisher, Affinity Publisher, but she's not confident enough. And since the COVID thing, we've had to go back to the other one, which means I have this hideous job once a week, which means I need to go into Parallels. But the Parallels thing was nagging me about the Parallels tools. So in the end, I thought, right, I'll just update it. And these Parallels tools used to be the toolkit that enabled access to Windows things, but they've extended it and it's now a standalone app as well that you get included with your subscription to Parallels. And I was having problems with Downy downloading video. I typed in download, or no, down, to run Downy to find that there was this other app, Download Video, and another one, Download Audio. And they were two little apps that were part of the toolkit. They're fantastic. There's very little interface, but you can either drag and drop to it, or you can copy and paste the link, and it's never failed. So it's a great way, if you're watching a music video and you just want the music from YouTube, you can just paste in the link and it downloads it as an audio file rather than a video file. Paul's using Parallels. Do you use anything in the Parallels toolkit? There's loads of stuff in there. And some of them are replicating other applications. But, you know, you've already got them installed. So certainly as a backup. And I have downloaded stuff from YouTube where I've only wanted the audio. I mean, we've had requests for songs from 1918. And I have found some of them on YouTube. But then I'll download the video, but then I need to strip the audio. But the app that's in Parallels is so good. You just put that in and you get the audio. So there's no post-processing needed. So it's definitely worth a look. And they do keep adding things to it. And one of them is a competitor for Bartender. Now, I think the new Bartender, which is Bartender 4, which is currently in beta, that is Biggles only, I think that's going to probably be the only one of its type that's available within a few weeks of Biggles launching, because the others don't seem to even be in beta or thinking about it yet. Oh, Paul, that was good planning. Was it good planning because you thought that was the day? But poor Santosh. Well, we'll be chatting in here during the show. And there'll be things like, oh, how much? And we'll try and keep people who are unable to listen up to speed with what's going on. Jonathan has the same problem. I just think anybody who arranges meetings today needs to be told it's not a good idea. But Jonathan's was with the CEO, so I don't think he bothered telling him that. I'm lucky I work for myself and all work stops on Apple days. Mike doesn't. He's out with the dog, but he'll be back not long into the Mac Bites Live, which is when we'll join other people who have traditionally been with us for the Mac Bites Live, but they're not macarooners. I wondered too. But we're having a jolly good time in Marooned. I started with Parallels, Paul, and I couldn't believe it was going to be any good. So I'm sat here with my 2006 24-inch Intel first-gen iMac. And it said, you can put this program on and it will run Windows. And I'm like, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. But I thought, keep the faith, try it, 30-day trial. I installed it and then put Windows on the top of it. Took Windows full screen. And I'm like, this is amazing. It was just like having a Windows machine, but it ran in a window. Nice and safe and secure and not interfering with anything else. I couldn't believe it. And then Parallels started to get more expensive and they weren't really adding much in the way of features. So I switched to VMware Fusion and I loved VMware Fusion. But then they reached a point where they sacked half the development staff. And this was well known. This was mentioned that they'd sacked the staff. And people were saying the updates will become much less frequent. And they weren't wrong. So at that point, I went back and had another look at Parallels, by which point I did have an old version, but it must have been at least three versions back because I've been with VMware for a while. I think I bought a bundle and it had Parallels in it. So I got this Parallels thing for a year because I'd bought this bundle. And I moved back to Parallels. I know VMware Fusion still puts updates out, but I think Parallels is where it's at. And I'm so glad that I got it when I got it, because the subscription fee, I think, is £80 a year. And I got mine grandfathered onto because I'd bought the thing, the pro version, and I pay £36. And that has carried on since. Now, Mike decided he was going to need to move from VMware at the same time I did. He didn't have this bundle that I'd bought, silly boy, which also included a year of Evernote, you know. So it was a really good bundle. It was only about £39. But Evernote alone was more than that. And so was VMware. So it was a very good bundle that I bought that year. The gift that kept giving, because I forgot to use the Evernote thing. So I used it the year after. It was a redemption code, so I was fine with that. With the VMware thing, Mike still has to pay $79.99 and I am still paying $36. So that is the gift that keeps giving and giving. So not really just luck. Yesterday was a state holiday. Oh, a state holiday as opposed to something like Labour Day, which is across the country. So you were home. No one wanted to meet the day after a holiday. Excellent planning. No, we don't have any more bank holidays until, let me think, when's the next bank holiday? Christmas Day, I think. I think we're all bank holidayed out, unfortunately. It's a quiet time for bank holidays. We have New Year's Day, And then it's Easter before we get any more. Then in May we have two, and in August we have one. People wanted a bank holiday this year. I think it was the back end of October. So in a couple of weeks' time. For like the COVID thing, for those who died. And people hadn't at the beginning of it, because the thing went across Easter, the first lockdown went across Easter, people weren't having holidays and they wanted a holiday later in the year. But obviously with what's happened since, where we're now in all kinds of lockdown, I don't see that happening this year. It was going to be, I think, a day to celebrate the NHS. I also don't think the party who are in power at the moment would do that. I think if the other lot got in, they might. But at the moment, I don't think they'd do that. So that's where we're that's where we're up to with that. Yes, very well sorted out there, Paul. I'm impressed. I am. And at Christmas, we get Christmas Day and Boxing Day, which is the day after, and New Year's Day. And if it falls nicely, like it goes across a weekend, which I do believe it does this time, then you get the Monday off as well. So I think Christmas Day is a Friday. I know that because of the calendar for after hours. We probably will, if we are still in lockdown. Yeah, of course we're going to be in lockdown. There will be a marooned on Christmas Day, but we're not doing after hours on Christmas Day. After hours goes the day before, because we always do. 'Twas the night before Christmas, where we talk about what we're hoping to get the next day. So 108, good grief, we're only 9 weeks away, is going to be on Christmas Eve, because 'twas the night before Christmas. And I'm also looking on here, and Mike's got some football stuff in here. I did not know that we already knew who we were playing in the Carabao Cup, but apparently we do. And there is a match on Boxing Day. Isn't it scary thinking about Christmas already when, in my mind, it's still March, although it's very, very cold. You'll be able to watch it on mute, though. Excellent. Well, we will keep you up to date in the chat with what's happening on the video. So think of it as subtitles. Do Apple put subtitles out? They must do, surely, for accessibility. I've never turned them on myself, but maybe they'll be there. Oh, that would be good to try. Do you remember, Santosh, were you there when the Chinese lady was doing the voiceover? That was a classic event. Back in the day, we used to do a video feed rather than just an audio feed. The video feed was because you could only watch the video inside Safari. And given the time it is in the States, a lot of people were at work and they were working on Windows and they couldn't watch the event. So we relayed it in a private room via Adobe Connect and it worked flawlessly. We also did an audio feed out to, for people who were driving home, which was the time in the UK. So it was a complicated affair to set up, but it, we did that. And I'm trying to think now. What was in there? Yeah, so this event with the Chinese lady, what happened was at the appointed hour, I would go quiet, I would mute myself, I would pass the audio from the stream into the video part of it and the audio part of it. So that's what happened. And then Mike and I would sit here making probably, rude comments all the way through it. Well, it started and it wasn't in English. It was in Mandarin, I think, some kind of Chinese or Mandarin. And it was somebody doing a feed for their country. So she was like explaining what was actually happening. Absolutely ludicrous. So this went on and I said, they'll stop her in a minute. You know, they've obviously got their wires crossed on the feed. And she went on and on and on. And I thought, I'm going to have to go in. So the event's actually going on and all we're getting is this woman. It's marooned in 5 minutes or are we marooned now? You are marooned now. It's good. We're going MacBytes live in 5 minutes. We switch shows. That is so we have the marooned for the marooned feed. And then we're going to talk about what we want from today in our usual MacBytes live. So before we ever had marooned on event day, we would meet up an hour beforehand and we would just do a chat and it was called MacBytes live. So MacBytes live will be in 5 minutes. At the moment, you are marooned. So this Chinese woman kept going on, and it must have gone on for about 8 minutes. So we just started talking amongst ourselves again, and then when they finally fixed it, we all went quiet again. But that one was a classic. That was an absolute classic. I would have thought since then, they, number one, sorted it out, and number two, they would provide subtitles. But I will find out. You can never remember. It's all one and the same, really, isn't it, Paul? It's just semantics. Don't worry about it. Oh, I'm enjoying looking at these alternatives to bartender. I didn't realise there were so many of them. But I'm a bartender girl, and I think I'll probably stick with bartender. The only thing that would get me to shift from bartender is something that I talked about with you guys in a previous show, which is I'd love the ability in bartender to go into it and have, like, pre-configured settings. So I would love to have one that says webinar and another one that says recording, and it automatically turn on or off whichever applets I wanted. If one of them came out with that, I'd move. I guess I need to tell the guy that I need that. That would save so much time, because the way it is at the moment, I have to go in and configure everything separately. Which, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven, I think, that I would need to configure, which is very annoying. Very, very annoying. But maybe he'll add it. At the moment, I don't think there's much hope, because he's too busy making sure it works on Biggles, which is a big enough of an ask, isn't it? When I look at that, it looks like a huge iPad. It's going to turn my 27-inch iMac into an iPad, isn't it? Having said that, I don't know whether I'll put it on here for quite a while, because I need this to actually work. So what we'll probably do is order that Mac, the one that Mike wants for the next 3 years. Because this one either needs a rebuild, or it's on the frizz. Something not right with it. But a Mac doesn't usually last me more than 3.5 years. And this one is 3.5 years old. Something always breaks, usually before now. So at the moment, I would say it's just a bit. Oh, what's the word? Annoying, a bit annoying. It does weird things. One of the weirdest, which is one of the most annoying, is I'm not getting told how much free disk space I've got in an accurate way at all. It's not freeing up space. If I move 200 gig of content onto another drive, this drive does not free up the 200 gig of content. And I get messages saying it's running out of disk space. So although it could, I mean, it's obviously a fake flag. But despite that, it thinks it's running out of disk space. It's not, but it thinks it is. So it stops doing whatever it's doing in terms of writing content. So I have no option but to reboot. But sometimes I'm running the radio local, which means I can't really reboot without handing that over to the server system, which sometimes we have issues. Let's just say we have issues. So this machine really needs either the radio coming from somewhere else, which it's not at the moment, or it needs rebooting constantly. So, and I had hopes that if I updated to Catalina eventually, which I did in the end, it would be all right, but it's not. It's still doing exactly the same. So it could have been a federal holiday. It was Columbus Day. Oh, Indigenous Persons Day. Weren't they trying that in Australia? Something to do with one of their holidays. I can't remember which one. Was Hispanic Day here too? A lot of protests against it as it celebrates the Spanish Empire, basically. Catalonia mostly boycotts it and works anyway. It's terrible, isn't it? Dear me. No, we've not had an extra one here for a long, long time. We've had odd days, like when William got married. Maybe we have one after that for anything. That could well have been the last extra one. That was 2011. I don't remember. Did we have one in 2012 for the Olympics? Something with the Olympics. Or the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Something like that. We could have had one, I think, for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. But it all pales into insignificance now. It's that long ago. For the moment, it's good night from me. And I shall say good night from Mike. And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.